Pacific Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters and the Maui Group, I've talked with, I think, mostly all of you about these issues on several occasions. I get the feeling sometimes that there's a question mark as to whether this is a real problem. People have trouble believing that this goes on in our city. But our history is rife with examples of, yeah, this goes on. And it's not just history. And aside from the work that I do for the Carpenters Union, I also plaintiff employment discrimination cases. And I can tell you that this stuff goes on day in and day out on a regular basis, far more than anybody wants to believe in the 21st century. The history is not in the past. It's right with us right now. And these numbers show that. They demonstrate that what we want to believe, we're past, we're not past. We need to have the strong programs that you, as the council, are in a position to implement in order to provide the very kind of opportunities that Mr. McCoy is discussing that's going to really promise the youth of our city an opportunity in the future. Now, there are certainly debates around how that's best accomplished, but there's also great resistance to it, and it comes from within. All we have to do is see the numbers that we just saw to know that something that we've been doing is not working. When people show up, they're sent home after 3 hours, and that gets counted as utilization. That's got to make every one of you sitting up there think, what on earth are we doing with our dollars? Is any of this stuff working? No, it's not. We got to be different. We got to choose to make the tough choices. We got to hold ourselves accountable. ECPC has given you a golden opportunity here to actually step out of this history, to make the difference that's necessary. It's not going to be easy. I'm not going to pretend for a second it is. There's plenty of resistance in all kinds of quarters to this, from the top legal system all the way down to people who just don't want to change the way they do business. Right now, I would suggest that this information here is a precursor to you taking some very aggressive steps in terms of putting hard goals on every project that comes before the city. And that's the kind of thing that the taxpayers, that every citizen sitting in this room, that every citizen sitting outside deserves. I was talking with Margaret Carter. I had the opportunity to speak with her. I'd never met her before. Wonderful lady. She has been working on this very issue, butting her head against the wall since the 80s. Since the 80s, that's 30 years. We're not looking at reinventing the wheel. We've got the tools. It's just a matter of doing it. We've got tools that are proven to do what needs to be done. The two CBA pilot projects shows us what a number of those tools are. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about the CBA today, because I'll be back next week to talk about that. But all of us sitting here, Mr. Posey, Mr. McCoy, everybody sitting in this room can make this work. The ECPC has a critical role in that, because without the oversight that's necessary, the auditor's report, this city's auditor, took a look at contracting practices and noted that some of the very practices in place are actually undermining the diversity work that we want. Now, we just have to be willing to take a look at some of this stuff, say, yeah, that's not working, and go with what does work. I don't think it's rocket science. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. And you got to give the ECPC, because I'm really here to talk about the ECPC, and I believe that they're a strong, important tool to make sure that this doesn't just become something, yeah, we mean it now, and 6 months down the line, we forgot about that in the press of business. And then 30 years from now, some attorney who's got ideas about making the world better comes in front of you and says, hey, 30 years ago, we were talking about this problem. Let's really do something about it. We've got the ability to do it. We've got the tools. It may take courageous leadership. It may take willingness to step out. It's going to take forging new connections. But we can do that. So I urge you all to support the ECPC in its work, to give them the respect, the support, the funding, the resources to do the job that needs to be done. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow, where to start? good afternoon. My name is James Posey, Mr. Mayor, and other commissioners. Most of you know me. Actually, Mayor Hales, you know where the ECPC started and why it was started. And quite frankly, I'm really disappointed that we've gotten down to the point where now we've got a one-sided view of the ECPC thing. Basically, it's a marketeering for the CBA, and most of the people that are represented on that the thing now have interest that really does not represent a balance. The three people who left the ECPC left for a reason. You all explore that and talk about it. Moving up the line on it, you know, the way it's structured, the lack of autonomy, Mayor, you were at the city club, and when you made the declaration that this was going to be a watchdog committee, and it's been anything but a watchdog committee. It's basically been sitting around twiddling its thumbs on a treadmill. And quite frankly, you know as well as I do, the issue of tracking has been on your desk for as long as you've been mayor. How in the world can you expect to actually have any accountability if you don't know where you know, the resources are going and who's benefiting from the program? That's common sense. It defies intellectual honesty to really expect the program to work if you can't track it and you can't really see who's getting what. And I've been asking for it through Nick Fish's office, through everybody's office, through Dan's office. You know, the reality, much of these problems would be solved if we had transparency, true transparency, shine some light on this stuff. And the community at large would be in an uproar if they saw how mismanaged some of these things are. So you can, you can start with
clear,
that.
Just be clear, when you talk about transparency, you're not just talking, I want to don't put words in your mouth, but you're not just talking about data which the city could pull from some spreadsheet. You're talking about going, you're talking about verifying that data and getting beyond the data. So in fairness, it isn't, there's some room that has all the data that you haven't gotten. You've raised some fundamental questions about how we collect the data and the integrity of that data.
And the integrity of the data. Let me just give you an example. People mentioned ESBs and MBEs and DBEs. It might surprise you to know that many of the MBEs are basically front companies. Some of these so-called DBEs have companies that are really owned by 51% minority and 49% white women. It shouldn't surprise anybody that the marketplace is filled with white males because that's where it defaults to. And the pool of resources to build on building capacity is based upon that sort of aggregation. And, I mean, this is just common sense. That's, you know, it's just being intellectually dishonest and not to see who's in these pools and these acronyms. We talk about ESBs, MBEs. I could share with you, if I saw the names, I could share with you who those folk are, on what their websites look like, who really, some of these people couldn't identify with a minority community outside of coming to your council and talking about it. They don't step foot at the MLK breakfast or at the down there at the barbershop. They wouldn't have a clue.
So, James, you also know, and I don't want to cut into your time. I'm sure the mayor will give you more.
I will.
You know that with the change in state law, we now have the authority to do some of those investigations to make sure that people who claim to be certified or claim to be playing by the rules are, in fact, doing that. So we're now, and in fact, we're setting up a mechanism through the legal department to do that. So we actually, the last time we had this discussion, we were talking about how do we receive complaints and how do we set up that system. But that has changed. That's one thing that has changed.
That's very good. I want to commend you all for that.
Well, thank the legislature for giving us the authority.
Well, actually, it originated from here going up there. Right. You know, they didn't just out of the goodness of their heart jump off and do that. It was through some stuff that you guys are doing. But I want to talk to you about the math on that, because this is about math. All those people who are fronts and who are in this marketplace are still there. They're competing against the people you're trying to promote right now. The whole accumulation of ESBs, false and fake minorities, they're out there right now. They're the ones that's driving this market down, so you can't get capacity. So you, now you've got an atmosphere in which a minority contractor who really wants to be a minority contractor is basically the probability of them being successful is null and void. And let me just be honest about this. We talk about, let's just take this for example. I don't know if you all know that most of the work that's done in Oregon is not by unions. It's by non-unions. There's no representation of the non-union people out here. Now, take it from a guy like me who started out dump trucking at the bottom end, worked my way up, did a lot of other stuff. If I had to go through a union to get to start my business, it's just an automatic deterrent, a turnoff. Now, as you progress, you get more money, you get more contracts, you can manage a union relationship. So you automatically don't take my word for it. Just look on the internet. Look at what these PLAs have done. Look at how they discourage, how they work against people of color, minorities, when they really are trying to make progress. Let me just say this one other thing. I know I've taken all the time here, but the fact that a person is really striving to be a good contractor in this community, you're already working against a whole bunch of barriers, administratively and otherwise. So when we're talking about having all these various programs and these requirements and everything, that's an automatic turnoff. And I said this, and Maurice knows this, I predicted the CBA catastrophe that you all are looking for. You're not even talking about it, but that framework report was real nice. It said, it basically said you had city administrators doing the same work the so-called CBA was doing. Virtually no compliance, duplication. The consultants got more work than the contractors did. That's embarrassing. So, I mean, I'm going to come back and talk to you all next week, and I could get it in better form and maybe talk to you about explicitly what I have on my mind. But you guys got to take Dante. He's trying to say it nicely to you all. You got an Office of Management and Finance. That's a joke. These guys are begging for data that all public officials know you ought to have. Mary, you said you were going to put it on the website so the world could see who's getting these contracts and why not. Give it to a person like me, because I would go out and walk the streets and really find out what these people are doing. I know the neighbors. I know where they live. And that's how white people do it. That's how they're successful. They have cousins and brothers. They have a community. And they come together, and that's how they're on these jobs. And that's how they mentor and develop people in their community, because they have relationships. This is about relationships, and there are very few black people out here who have relationships and very few success. You said it best. You need to reward the behavior you want to see. When you see people out here who are successful, you ought to reward them. Give them everything. I'm just say this one other thing here. Sorry about that, folks. I'm sorry about that.
James, go ahead.
That's okay. We'll break for lunch, for dinner. We'll come back for the hearing.
I mean, I go back a long way. The first disparity study that was done for the city had some good recommendations in it. And the sheltered market came out. I didn't like the idea of the sheltered market. That's another thing. We always got to shelter these minorities. We got to make them disadvantaged. We got to do this. We got to do that. There's no respect in that scenario. You're talking about disadvantage, maybe underutilized is a better terminology. The terminology is demeaning. But here, way back when, if you had a child that was having problems, you would specialize, you would put them in a situation, and you would cultivate them. Some people call it incubation. When you have, when the level of malfeasance is so low, then you have to build things to prop them up so they can get to where they want to be. this is not about being legal or non-legal. This is about being honest and understanding what the problem is. We need an incubation program so we can prime the pump to get people in the system so they can be competitive in this marketplace. You've got to make special efforts over and above just leveling playing field. We're too far low now to get to where we need to be to make success. That's really what I want to say to you all. And I'll talk a little bit more next week about the CPA. In the meantime, go Google PLAs and see, and go look on the market and see how it's affecting people of color across the board. You'll see what I'm talking about.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all. Are there others that want to speak on this report before we call Dante back for some further discussion? Are there other questions for him? No other questions for Dante at the moment? All right, then let's take a motion, please, to accept the report.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Holtzman?
Well, I appreciate the report, appreciate the frustration. Unfortunately, I think this is something that gets reinvented every 4 years. Every time we have a new mayor, there has to be a new mayoral stamp of approval on his or her solution to this problem. So, you know, with all due respect to Mayor Hales, I mean, you've tried, but I think we're in for, you know, when Mayor-elect Wheeler becomes mayor, we're probably going to do this all over again. So, you know, strap yourselves in and we'll try to do better. Aye.
Novick.
This issue of we get disaggregated data and then it's aggregated and has to be separated by hand is really frustrating. And I understand that these software issues that sound like, well, it's a software issue, why can't they just fix it, are often more complicated than that. But I'm looking forward to talking with the procurement about what does need to be done so that we have the data readily available. Is that an expensive proposition? Is it just time consuming? But in any event, it's critical. I think we need to get that done in particular. Thank you very much for the report. Aye.
Fritz?
So I first met Mr. Roming when his wife Allie and I were walking the picket line at OHSU. She was a registered nurse like I was, and we went out on strike on 17th of December 2001, and we stayed out for 56 days for many of the same reasons that we're talking about today: respect, retention, remuneration. And I think we need something that's similar like the Office of Equity and Human Rights and like the Department of Justice settlement agreement. It's not just the mayor's responsibility to do this. It's all of us. I think the ECPC, which is easy to say and harder to spell out, but it's equitable contracting and purchasing commission. It's an important thing. I didn't realize that the Office of Management Finance didn't send either a staff person or enough money for a staff person when we transferred the commission to the Office of Equity. And the Equity and Human Rights Office is so small that there isn't capacity to do something like this without additional staff. So I would favor doing something in the full month now that I know of the problem, not waiting to the regular budget. And I hardly ever say that because I think usually we should be looking at ongoing positions. But this is urgent. And it does remind me of when we had the State of Black Oregon report that showed us that in 17 years, for African Americans, on every single data point, things were worse when that report came out than they were 17 years previously. I'm horrified to find out that now the data, such as we are able to call it, is worse than when I first started. So whatever we've been doing, I do remember raising my children. I think sometimes I stopped doing something that if I just kept doing it longer, it might have been more successful than switching every 5 minutes. But we need to be evaluating how are we doing this, how are we doing it in our bureaus. It was mentioned that Parks has got prime contractors for the East Portland Parks. It was mentioned that the Water Bureau had better than average participation on the job. Let's look at what we're doing right and celebrate that, and then let's do it again. So thank you very much to the commission. It is hard to hang in there when you don't feel you're getting the respect. You're certainly not getting any remuneration, but you're there so that we can retain and keep people in the workforce and have the city become what the Office of Equity said. We have to have fairness in jobs, contracts, and services. And we're not there on the other equity issues, and we're not there on this yet, but we will keep trying. Thank you, Mayor. Aye.
Yes.
Let me begin by just finding the common ground here. We use a lot of acronyms. There seems to be some healthy tension in the community around certain ends or means. But let's talk about what unites all my friends in this room. We began this process because we wanted to expand opportunity to people that had been shut out from participating fully in these opportunities. And since we control a lot of public resources that are invested in the community, we wanted to make sure that the community was fairly competing for those resources. And there is no disagreement about that premise. Sadly, what I think has happened is that this well-intentioned effort has moved sideways. And so I have a couple of ideas about how to address that, but I want to start with where we agree. There is broad agreement on both the values proposition and on the goal. But how we get there and how we measure progress and what success looks like, there is some disagreement. So I thank you for the report. We are doing a formal exercise here of accepting the report. And I think the next step, Mayor, is to take some of the key recommendations and ask procurement, legal, and others to review them and to come back with us with a roadmap. But I'm gonna take a slightly different view than my friend Commissioner Fritz and urge us not to rush into addressing some of the structural problems, because I think they run deep enough that we need to hit the pause button and hit reset. I have had conversations with a lot of the people in this room who I have the highest regard for about these issues, and these are the things we have spent the most time talking about. What is the mission of ECPC? How do we deal with the fact that there's been so many changes in leadership? How do we attract and retain qualified members? Because you've barely got a quorum now, and if people are coming and going, that's not helpful to the cause. What's the role of ECPC? Is it primarily to oversee the CBA? Is it to look at equity and contracting? Is it to do some combination? But you know, as my office always tells me, unless you know what lane I'm supposed to stay in, then I generally get into other lanes. What's the purpose? What have we charged people with? And then, to the point that Amanda and others have mentioned, once we've clarified mission and role and leadership and membership, you have to have the resources to do the job. And we learned that the hard way for having, for years, oversight bodies of our utilities that used to come in and give reports and object to the fact they couldn't get good information, and they'd make a report, the report would be forgotten within 5 minutes, with all due respect to the folks who presented it. And we had a structural problem. So we did something about it. We created a new oversight body, we gave them dedicated staff people, we paid for it, and we said, you're going to be independent, whether we like your advice or not. You're going to have an independent role with independent staff, and you're going to come in and you're going to have a clearly defined role. That was a sea change. So what I'm going to suggest is, I think all those issues have to be revisited before I want to start moving forward with this model, because I think the foundation's not strong enough right now. And I think what we're at risk of doing is just putting some more plaster on the side of the building without addressing the foundation. And by the way, I appreciate that the appeal was made to this mayor, for whom this issue has been very important during his mayor in a number of ways. And I appreciate that the council's been challenged to do something, but in reality, we're going to have a new mayor in a few months. And unless the new mayor comes in saying this is a priority and wants to put resources into it, it's not going to move forward. So we have a transition that's underway. We have a new mayor that has publicly said these are issues he cares about. I would like to see the reset conversation occur within that context. Or else we're going to be back here a year from now, in the next report, we're going to have the same conversation. And frankly, there comes a point when shame on us for wasting your time. If you don't have a clearly defined mission and role, if you don't have a full complement of members, if you don't have staff that are assisting you, and you're not getting the data you need to make judgments, then frankly, we're wasting your time. And that's before we even get into this debate about what we heard today, kind of foreshadowed that we'll hear more of next week, about what's the best vehicle to accomplish these ends. How much does the CBA, you know, improve outcomes or not? That's a good question. If we're going to be transparent, we have to ask that and other questions. But for me, this has been a very frustrating hearing, and the frustration is coming from you to us, and I hear it, and I don't like wasting people's time. So I think we got to go back and take what was a well-intentioned effort, a well-intentioned idea, and we got to rethink it. We got to rethink what its mission and role is and staffing and what kind of information it gets and who's around the table, and we got to make sure that the next mayor is bought into that, and since there's a transition, that couldn't come at a better time. So thank you for the report. There are some things that have been put on the table that I'm very interested in pursuing. I cannot believe we're still talking about insufficient data to even make judgments about this stuff. And that's on us, and it's not just OMF, it's not the mayor, it's on all of us, and we got to fix that. So thank you. Aye.
Yes.
Well, I have a number of thoughts based on this discussion and others, and let me put some of these out here now. certainly perfectly willing to include the mayor-elect in these discussions, but I want to take off on what some of my colleagues said on a couple of points. I'm happy that this is part of my agenda. I'm not happy about where we are in it. We have a lot of work to do, and we have an unacceptable picture that's just been clearly revealed to us by the report we've heard today. So maybe it's less about who's in office, though. I think our commitment matters, and the future occupants of this table's commitment will matter too. But maybe it's less about who's in office than how we set this up to succeed. And that's a lot of what I've heard here today. So if we're dealing with institutionalized racism, maybe we need institutionalized authority to act on the problem. And we can certainly create that institutionalized authority. So if we want the power for change to be real, then it might need to be somewhat politician-proof. It's nice when we're helpful, but it will be hopefully continued when maybe we're not as helpful. Not casting aspersions on anyone in particular. I'm saying I believe the mayor-elect's committed to this. I am. Everybody up here is. But we haven't made the progress that we all want to make. And there's no excuse for not making that progress in the current situation. When I ran for mayor, there were two cranes on the horizon in the city of Portland. Look out any window today. If there was ever a time that we could be making real gains, it's in this marketplace. And this marketplace is going to last for a while yet. Sure, there could be a bit of a recession or a bit of a slowdown. We've got 1,000 people a month moving to this city, and we're building things to serve them every day, and there's a lot of work out there. And if there was ever a time that we ought to be able to really make change, it's in this time right now. So I've heard a lot today about policy, about data and staff, and about oversight. I want to spend a good part of the next 3.5 months talking about what policies are working and what aren't, and what should we change. What are the right goals? What are the right tools? What are the right programs? And next week's discussion is a piece of that. Data, I agree, is we've got to fix this again, at a time where data is all around us all the time. We ought to be able to know this. This shouldn't be that hard. I am proposing in the fall bump some staff support for this function. So thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and we'll continue that discussion because I think that's obvious. And then, you know, oversight really matters. I'm committed to police reform. We're making a lot of it. But the fact that we have oversight from the federal government tightens us up and makes sure that we do a good job on it. So having real oversight authority for this shared purpose that's shared by everybody here at this table, everybody in this room, and I believe actually by our city administrators. I don't think we have city administrators who don't want to make progress here. I'm going to assume good faith on all parts, and I think there is a lot of it out there to work with, but we're not there yet. So thank you. As Commissioner Fish said, don't let us waste your time, but don't leave just yet, because I don't intend to, and I don't think anybody here does. So thank you for a clear-eyed look at an unacceptable situation, and I look forward to working with all of you to make it better. Aye.
Take a 2-minute break.
Let's take a brief break and then come back to the rest of our agenda. Thank you.
overhead fund it too.
Yeah.